So nice to have you with us, boys and girls. Actually, it's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Soothing and comforting as a cardigan sweater. That theme is so recognizable, I hardly need to mention that it's music that ushered Mr. Rogers into our living rooms each day when we were kids. He was kind and nurturing, but was Mr. Rogers also a purveyor of counterculture ideas? Yes, says Junlei Lee, a professor of psychological science at St. Vincent College in La Trobe, who is co-director of the Fred Rogers Center for Early Learning and Children's Media on the campus there. He's teaching a seminar this semester titled, What Would Fred Rogers Do? A course that combines psychology, child development, and theology, which is something that Fred Rogers did in fact study. Junlei Lee joins us now in studio. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you can join the conversation with your comments and questions at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Junlei Lee, first of all, you, unlike so many of us, did not grow up with Mr. Rogers. You grew up in China. So how did you end up discovering Fred Rogers?
I discovered Fred Rogers when I came to Pittsburgh to study child development. And my first encounter with Mr. Rogers was on Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy's parody. And I didn't know who he was parodying. And after being to Pittsburgh, you couldn't help to be in Pittsburgh and know something about Mr. Rogers. And I was studying child development at the time. And my personal understanding was that there was something that Fred was saying about children's development and the way he communicated about them that I wasn't learning in all of the research papers and studies that I was reading. And throughout my graduate studies and afterwards, I worked in the communities and in the schools around Pittsburgh. And sometimes I would go in front of the classroom and teach, and I thought I was terrible at it. And I remember going into the classrooms in the morning and just thinking in my head, what would Mr. Rogers do? What would Mr. Rogers do? So I think that's probably what started just my love for Fred Rogers' work.
So then you went back and you watched shows and just got to know who he was and what he was like and how he interacted with children.
That's right.
And I say interaction because technically artificial interaction because it's happening through a television set, but obviously there was a connection there.
There was a real connection, I think, when Fred looked into the television when he was taping. He's not thinking about broadcasting to millions of children. He would always say, I'm thinking about this one child who's there and perhaps the one parent who's standing nearby and listening. And this is what's on his mind when he tapes every single one of the programs. So in a way, even though television can be somewhat of a superficial medium, I think the connection that Fred formed with the children and the parents and vice versa was really genuine.
And you say that you're impressed with how cross-cultural Fred Rogers was or is, because even though he has passed away, he still seems, his energy still seems to be with us and with the kids who still watch the shows. Explain what you mean by this cross-cultural effect that Fred Rogers had.
I think in my own work, I see at least two kinds of cross-cultural effect. One is that his message transcends time, that you can watch him as a child, and now you may be a parent yourself or a grandparent or a teacher. And there are so many things about Fred's work and what Fred said that would still mean something to you. And the other cross-cultural part is unique, I think, to my own work. As part of my work at the Fred Rogers Center, we would go as far as China and work in orphanages there to support the people who care for orphans with disabilities. And once in a while, I would bring in something about Fred Rogers into our trainings and meetings. And most people in China have absolutely no idea who he was. But they're moved to tears by his words, even if these are just words that I transcribe onto a video. And then people would come and ask me, who is that man? And so I think there's just something about Fred that really gets to the essence of what is beautiful and essential in human culture. I know you early on, you mentioned kind of the term counterculture. It's a term we don't use too often or at all. It's
we meaning
at the Fred Rogers Center. It's a term that's used by this professor Michael Long, who wrote a book called Peaceful Neighbor, the Countercultural Fred Rogers. And I think beyond the term itself, what I understand Fred's legacy to be is he really tapped into something deep and essential about what is good in human nature and in the way that our communities come together. And that in a way is what Fred is. It's what Fred is about. And that's why even after 40 years, you can listen to Fred and something about what he says touches you, whether or not you have grown up with him.
And counterculture, it's, I guess, kind of a charged term. And I employ it, and obviously I'm not the first to apply this to Fred Rogers. You just mentioned the author of the book. But there was this idea in the 60s that there was a prevailing message about how we as Americans should conduct ourselves in terms of mainstream ideas, and that Fred Rogers, in his own way, looked at the mainstream culture and questioned it and drew attention to it and did so in a way that inspired and maybe encouraged kids to question what was going on around them in a very subtle but also very effective way. Explain exactly what Fred Rogers did.
I think, so you mentioned that we have this class in the college now called What Would Fred Rogers Do? And this semester we decided to start the class in the year 1968. Right? So all of the college students that I have grew up with Fred, but in the 2000s. We go back to 1968, precisely to the time period that you're speaking of. If you think about what is happening in 1968, we start there because that's the first year that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was broadcast nationwide. But that is also the year where Dr. Martin Luther King was killed, and a few months later, Robert Kennedy was killed. And people refer to people like Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy as radicals mm-hmm. at that time.
At that time, yeah.
And particularly Dr. King, I think so many people refer to him as a troublemaker, which was kind of a term that you use to describe people who are radicals. But when I think of the word radical, for example, right, if you look back at the Latin root of the word radical, it refers to root. It refers to kind of coming to your root, coming to what is original. And I think of the eulogy Senator Edward Kennedy gave when Bobby was killed. And at the end of the eulogy, Senator Edward Kennedy mentioned something that Bobby Kennedy and John F. Kennedy often said, which is that there are those who see the world as it is and ask why. And I dream of world that never were and ask why not. And in a way, I think Fred Rogers' presence is this very gentle, non-confrontational way of dreaming of a world that never were and ask why not. And that the neighborhood of make-believe is this place where I think Fred created to help children understand the kind of hard work that it takes to build a neighborhood in which people can understand each other's differences, accept each other's differences, and work through difficult challenges. And these are challenges that are as small as a child being afraid to go to school, but as big as the neighborhood is about getting ready to wage war against the neighborhood right next to it. In 1968, the very first week of the episode, King Friday wanted to build a wall to keep out the troublemakers who wants to change the world. And
how prescient of King Friday to say.
That's right. And by the end of the week, through the hard work, the peaceful, constructive work of everybody in the neighborhood, by Friday of that week, the wall came down.
And so Fred Rogers obviously knew what he was doing and saying here. At what point did the folks at WQED and maybe some of the other PBS or at that time NET affiliates, at what point did they get wise to what was going on and how did they react?
I talked to several people who have been working with Fred ever since the beginning. People like David New, who was Mr. McFeely on the neighborhood.
Sure.
And Hedda Sherapin, who really has been really the spokesperson for Fred's legacy for all these years. I don't think Fred was using the show to make a political statement. I think Fred wanted to help children and their families to make sense of the different challenges that children are facing. And children live in the real world, so the backdrop of war, the backdrop of intolerance, all these things are actually happening in everyday life. And Fred just found a manageable and mentionable way of putting that into the neighborhood so that children and families ultimately can go home and talk about all these issues. I don't think it's ever Fred's intent to indoctrinate anybody, but Fred wanted to make it possible so that children and family can have these conversations. He would always say, even with regards to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he would say that the best use of television is after the program has been turned off and that children and family can talk about it. And so when Fred founded his nonprofit in the 70s to produce Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he called it Family Communications. That was his goal.
But was there ever any kind of a pushback in terms of, you know, people looking at the content and saying, wait a minute, what you're nodding your head. So, yes, what happened?
So I'm not aware of any organizational pushback from public television or other places, but I am aware of criticisms and objections to Fred's message overall. One particular thing that jumps to my mind, and this is something that keeps happening over and over again, particularly after Fred had died, which is that there are critics that link Fred's legacy of helping children finding their self-worth to the perceived idea that young people today feel so entitled, that they are narcissistic and that they feel special. A while ago, maybe about 10 years ago, there was an article on the Wall Street Journal with the headline, Blame It on Mr. Rogers. And it was talking about how college students, you know, if they get a bad grade, they'll go back and argue about it. And then shortly afterwards, on one of the national cable news, there was a whole segment devoted to that with the banner, Is Mr. Rogers an Evil Man? Right. So I think much of that criticism, and it happens over and over again, but I think much of that criticism is incredibly superficial. It captures, it takes a soundbite from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, something like you're special or it's you I like, and it extrapolates it to all these notions that we have about what young people today are like. I personally think that these criticisms are just wrong. That's not Fred's legacy at all. Fred believed so strongly and communicated so strongly to children that anything worth doing takes effort. And all these things in terms of learning to share and going to school and learning to control the mad that you feel on the inside, all these things takes tremendous effort. And Fred helped children understand what does it mean to learn something and to be proud because you have tried and failed and tried again. And so it's very opposite, I think, from what some of these criticisms seem to charge.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Junlei Lee, a professor of psychological science at St. Vincent College in La Trobe, who is co-director of the Fred Rogers Center for Early Learning and Children's Media on the campus there. He's teaching a seminar this semester titled What Would Fred Rogers Do?, a course that combines psychology, child development, and theology, and he's with us in studio for a few more minutes. And I would like you to tell us a little bit about the seminar that you teach. What would Fred Rogers do?
I think the seminar is consistent with the overall mission of the Fred Rogers Center. To put it simply, I think we are helping to serve the children who have grown up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but who are now young adults or parents or teachers and social workers who have their own children that they are serving. And our goal is to connect what people remember about Mr. Rogers to what they can know about the person, the human being that was behind Mr. Rogers, who is Fred. And I think the common reaction from our students, as well as from many other audiences we speak with, when you mention Mr. Rogers, everyone have this just really warm feeling, and there's almost a collective awe when you bring his name up. But if you start to help them to understand who Fred is, I think the most common reaction that I get from 20-year-olds as well as 80-year-olds is, wow. I think people couldn't believe the kind of legacy that went behind that television show. And that legacy was so deep and so universal to what we believe about our world, our community. I brought something to you if I could share with you. So this is a little note that I found in a folder that's marked 2002, the commencement speech for Dartmouth. Fred went to Dartmouth first when he was studying music. And let me explain a little bit. So on the note, I think what you will see
is... And this is an actual handwritten note?
This is a handwritten note.
Wow.
Would you like to read?
Well, he says, so this is for a speech, and these are not very many notes, but it's a very simple handwritten, you know, I feel like I should be wearing gloves as I hold this, and it looks like he just did this with a pen or maybe just a colored pencil. He says, greatest gifts of all, love that conquers hate, peace that peace that rises triumphant over war, justice that proves more powerful than greed. Underline. That's it.
That's it.
That is a very simple message, but a message that also, particularly as he embarked on the national airing of his program, that might have run counter to this idea of we have to resolve our differences peacefully. I mean, this is the height of the Vietnam War. So is that why it may have been seen by some as controversial, as undermining sort of the American idea of, we're number one?
I think in a way, right, so that little note that you just read was from 2002, a few months before Fred died. And what we talked about earlier was in 1968, in the beginning of the first week of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but these basic message of love and peace and justice permeated the entire course of Fred's career when it comes to television. And I just want to put a little more context to that little note. So Fred had a habit of writing down the theme of his speeches on tiny scraps of paper, which was the replica that you just saw. In that context, he was going to give a commencement address, which turned out to be the last commencement address he had in life. And he was explaining what he meant on the show when he said, "It's you I like." The second most sung song in the neighborhood in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is "It's You I Like," second only to "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." And the song, part of the song goes, "It's you I like, the way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your caps and gowns." And then Fred went on to conclude his commencement by saying, "You know, what that ultimately means, of course, is that you don't ever have to do anything sensational for people to love you. When I say it's you I like, I'm talking about that deep part of you that allows you to stand for those things without which humankind cannot survive. Love that conquers hate, peace that rises triumphant over war, and justice that proves more powerful than greed. So in all that you do, in all of your life, I wish you the strength and the grace to make those choices which will allow you and your neighbor to become the best of whoever you are." And that, to me, is really Fred's legacy from the first day of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to the last day of the program.
My guest has been Junlei Lee. He is teaching a seminar this semester at St. Vincent College called "What Would Fred Rogers Do?", a course that combines psychology, child development, and theology. He's a professor of psychological science at St. Vincent College and co-director of the Fred Rogers Center for Early Learning and Children's Media on the campus there. June Lely, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your views on Mr. Rogers. We appreciate it.
And we're always glad to be a neighbor here in Pittsburgh.
And a very good neighbor at that. Coming up, we'll talk about how the region is commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising with best-selling Irish author Tim Pat Coogan. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.